Over the last few weeks, we've had some pretty extraordinarily difficult scriptures to digest. I think one of the toughest is that great scripture when asked, how many times am I to forgive someone? And Peter suggests maybe seven times, which is an awful lot to forgive your enemy. And yet, Jesus looks right in his eyes and says, no, Peter, not seven times, 70 times, seven times. Yeah, that's what he says. And then we heard a pretty extraordinary gospel that talked about who was chosen to come into the kingdom of God. Which are God's first choices? And the choices that God has are probably not what we would manage in our own minds or figure out. He would suggest that it's the people that have been cast aside, people who are no longer in any great place in our world. They are the ones who are at least open to hear his word. And as a result of that, an ability to follow Christ in a way that those of us who think we're pretty good, you know, and pretty complacent where we are in relationship to our lives and in our relationship with God, probably don't manage enough, don't hear very well. And then today, we're given this extraordinary example. But before I take a moment to explain as best I can, you probably could explain it better, but as best I can, the scripture for this day, I found this beautiful story. It's a Native American story, and it's a legend, and I thought it would set the scene. So if you have just a couple of minutes, I'd like to share it with you. It's about a chief of a certain tribe who's lying near death. And so he calls his three sons to his side. And he says, my sons, my life is at the end. Soon one of you will be accused, will succeed me as the chief. I want each of you to climb our ancestors' holy mountain and bring back something very beautiful to me before I die. The one whose gift is the most precious, I will choose as the next chief. And so several days later, his three sons return from the journey. The first brought back a flower, an extraordinarily rare and beautiful flower that has never seen before by the chief. And he's so excited and he presents that to his dad. The second son brought back a stone of precious gold, thinking certainly his father would be so grateful for this precious gift before his death. But the third son came and said this, Father, I have brought back nothing. As I stood at the top of our ancestors' holy mountain, I saw on the other side a land that was fertile and green and lush, with crystal water and green, green pastures. I could imagine, Father, our people settling there, establishing a better life there. And so I was so taken by what I saw, I returned before I could find anything to give back to you. And the old man looked at his third son and said, Son, you will be the chief of our tribe, for you have brought back the sweetest gift of awe. A vision for a better life. I think for all of us, my brothers and sisters, we are a bit put off by the great struggle that each and every one of us finds ourselves in today. Our families are good, but there's lots of stuff inside. Our economy is, I don't know where it is, but it's not good. Lots of troubled times. Leaders finding themselves unable to have a voice to give a vision so that people will once again find someone that maybe we might follow, someone that might bring some new hope. Difficult times. And so I'm not suggesting that we are sitting here in this little church with all of the answers and the rest of the world is going to hell in a basket. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that every week, my brothers and sisters, every week, if we choose to be here, we can find a new vision, a new way in which we can live our lives that week, a way in which we are nourished a little by the holiest of God's words. Even though at times they're very challenging, even though at times they're very difficult, even at times as if they sound like they're way off someplace without any hope of reality, we have some vision for a better life. And then to top all that off, every week we get the gift of Eucharist. Every week we're nourished by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's worthy of our time. It's worthy of our attention. It's worthy of who we are as a community of faith. Doesn't matter who's the pastor. Doesn't matter who's doing this or that or selling the donuts. What matters is that we get that word. We're nourished. We're fed. So stay awake for the vision today. Isaiah says in a song, Isaiah could sing. He sang a ballad. He sang a ballad to his people. Now, there are three Isaiahs, so it could be any one of the three. So, you know, there it is. But this man, this Isaiah, was able somehow to sing a ballad. And the ballad that they heard was a ballad that they didn't want to hear. There was a vision given to them that they felt very uncomfortable with. And the vision was, you have been the chosen people. You have been given this incredible vineyard. You have been called by our God, his chosen ones. But in the process of doing that, you become too exclusive. You feel it's yours. You are not including anybody else in the call. You feel that somehow you're not the owner. Excuse me, you're not the steward. You're the owner. You own this joint. You can say that about me. Some days I feel like I own this joint. Crazy. I mean, you know, stewards, that's what we are. Stewards. And so he says, your fruit are thorns and sour grapes. They are not the beautiful, lush grapes for harvest that I so desperately have given you. And then he asks that question in the ballad, what more do you want me to do? What more can I give you? You stiff-necked people. Isaiah didn't say that. I said that. And then the Matthew's gospel today takes up that very same ballad. Jesus doesn't sing it. He says it in a parable. And he tells the story of this great, great man who pours his life into the vineyard. And then he gets some other people to tend it and till it and get it ready for harvest. And what do? They own it. When he comes to get some little profit from what he has done, they say, go jump in the lake. It's mine now. I own it. Nobody else is going to get this. Nobody else is going to say this 9:30 liturgy. Only your pastor. It's mine. I own it. Crazy thinking. But we do it. My brothers and sisters, this gospel in this first reading is not just not about the Jews in the ancient times of Isaiah or in the times of Jesus Christ. It's about you and me. Everything, every single thing we have has been given to us by our God. And you might come back to me and say, Leigh Torgerson, but I work hard. And because I work hard, I succeed. And the rest of humankind, they're not as good as I am. By the fact that you have the power to do it, it's your gift. Praise God that you have what you have. But who gave you the energy and the enthusiasm and the mind to do it? It's all God's gift. All of it. And when we possess it, when we miserly deal it out, when we hold on to things that don't belong to us, we die. That's what Jesus is saying. You think you own this vineyard? Let me tell you, my brother, my sister, you're dead as a doornail. I'm coming to get you. And we lose it. We lose it because we're afraid. We lose it because we worry too much. We lose it because we're not happy. We lose it because we don't share it. I'd like to conclude with a little story from Jim Finley. Jim is an extraordinary person at St. Monica's and does so much for us here. And his mother knew a sister, a religious woman, who taught her in the third or fourth grade. But she loved this woman. Sister Julianne was her name. And Sister Julianne was a person that his mother related to all of her life. She'd go visit her and talk to her and thank her and take her around. And Sister Julianne used to come in one of these walkers to go to Jim, her son's workshops, because she was so proud that she taught this great woman's mother. And near her death, Sister Julianne was in a convalescent home, and she had the disease that I think all of us, at least at my age, dread. Pray to God we don't receive, which is the great struggle of Alzheimer's disease. And she had a perfect memory of things happening in the third grade 50 years ago, but couldn't remember the next minute if you said hello to me or not. And so Sister Julianne was there in the convalescent home, and Jim's mother went in, but she was Christmas time, so she wrapped a beautiful gift that she got for her, because she knew she was near death and it would probably be her last. So she got a beautiful pair of rosaries, a beautiful set of rosaries, put it in the box, wrapped it all up, put a bow on it, and presented it to Sister Julianne in that home. She looked at it and she said, oh, it's beautiful, thank you. She set it aside. And they started talking about all of the incredible things that had happened in their life 20, 30, 40 years ago. And then she said, Sister, you know, it's Christmas. And I'm going to leave now because I've got to go visit my family. She said, oh, Christmas, Christmas. And she looked and she saw this little gift by the side of her bed. So she picked up the gift and gave it to Mrs. Finley. She said, Mrs. Finley, she said, here's your gift for Christmas for you. Well, the woman didn't say, hey, look, sister, I just gave that to you. So being gracious, she took the gift and said, oh, thank you, sister. Thank you so much. Well, she said, unwrap it. I want to know if you like it. So she unwrapped it. And she opened up the box, and there was this beautiful, beautiful beads, the rosary. And she said, oh, sister, thank you so much. It's beautiful. I'll treasure this all of my life. And sister says, oh, I knew you'd love it. G. Jim's mother kept that rosary by the side of her bed all of her life. And you know why? Because it reminded her of the great teaching. My brothers and sisters, everything is gift. Everything. Everything you have has been given to you, one way or the other. And my brothers and sisters, it's given to you to be given back. Now, I know that's a hard saying. I know it doesn't really rhyme with the great tradition of America, but it's the truth. It's the truth. All gift. All gift to be given back. And can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? One way or the other, whether we give it away or it's taken from us, it will be returned. Amen.